One of the regular features of The Late Show with David Letterman is a top 10 list. So I'd like to begin my sermon today with a top 5 list. And these would be the top 5 reasons why you probably won't find me on Tuesday night in New Orleans at Mardi Gras. Reason number 5 is that I have a day job here in San Francisco. And I'll be spending Tuesday morning and afternoon at the church for my regular hours, and I'll be here Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock for Ash Wednesday. So it's logistically impossible for me to make it to Mardi Gras this year. Reason number 4 is that I really don't like crowds. And they say that 4 million people come to New Orleans for Mardi Gras, and some people really enjoy being at a huge party and rooms full of people they don't know, being part of a big parade, and I find myself uncomfortable in crowds. I much prefer the kind of party where I'm with a few close friends in a quiet room where we can sit down and talk together. Number 3 reason why you might not find me in New Orleans this Tuesday is that I guess I don't like drinking. Now, don't get me wrong. I really like a mellow, warm Cabernet Sauvignon or a white wine without an oaky taste that's light and crisp and dry. And I tell you, in 1976, when I began my ministry in southern New Jersey, would never admit something like this. But you can see that I probably wouldn't go for the kind of drinking that happens on a place called Bourbon Street. Number 2 reason why you might not find me at Mardi Gras this year is that I don't like really loud music. I love mellow jazz, you know, the kind of jazz where the drummer has those steel brushes to play the drums with, and you have a trumpet playing a soft, languid variation on some old standard, and, you know, maybe Nora Jones singing. But, you know, not the loud kind of music you might find in a nightclub. But the number 1 reason why you won't find me in New Orleans this Tuesday evening, and if I have a drum roll, it goes on past my bedtime. Thank you. I'm glad you liked that one. So, even though the police show up at midnight on horseback on Bourbon Street and they clear the street so that Lent can begin in all its sobriety or whatever, it's still past my bedtime. So there you have it. If you were to rate me on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being party animal and 1 being party pooper, I might be a 1, a perfect 1. I don't know. But I think it's really interesting and significant, this paradox that we have, bringing together the biggest party in the world, Mardi Gras, right alongside the beginning of a season of serious spiritual contemplation, the day of Ash Wednesday. I mean, the contrast between the two is really incredible. This celebration of excess on the one hand, and this beginning of the remembrance of Jesus' painful, courageous journey to the cross. This party and this beginning of a period of spiritual introspection. And I think there's wisdom in bringing it together, because I think there's some important things that the way we do Mardi Gras and Lent here at Bethany have to teach us. There's some affirmations I want to make this morning. The first affirmation is that God does not intend for life to be a constant fast. There are people who believe that the physical pleasures of life are something to be avoided. And these are people who, like John the Baptist, we heard about in the scripture lesson, went off and lived in the desert and didn't drink wine and didn't fast and basically absented himself from the pleasures of life. But that isn't how I understand God. That isn't how I read the Bible. If you read the story of Genesis, when God made us, When God made the world, after every step, God said, "It is good." And God made us with hungers and thirsts and desires and longings, and they serve a positive purpose. One purpose is we need them to stay alive. We get hungry, and so we eat food, and food nourishes our bodies. We get thirsty, and we drink water, and water replenishes our bodies. And we have physical longings, and somehow in God's wonderful way, that is how the next generation happens. And so our hungers and our needs provide for our ongoing life, but pleasure is also a part of life as God intended it. Remember what Jesus said in that scripture lesson we just heard? Jesus is talking about people who had criticized him, and he really noted the contradiction in what they had to say. They criticized John the Baptist, who fasted and said he has a demon, and then they turned around and they criticized Jesus for being a drunkard and a glutton. And I noticed that neither here in Luke nor in Matthew, where you have the same passage, does Jesus deny the charge. And if I interpret that correctly, that says to me that Jesus was somebody who experienced life in all its fullness, who liked to eat with friends, who liked to drink wine with friends, who liked to party with friends. I don't see Jesus as an ascetic. I see Jesus as somebody who embraced life and affirmed the goodness of life and all of our hungers and thirsts and needs as being a good thing. But there's a flip side to that, and I think we also need to make that affirmation. And that is that life is not one long feast either. True life does not come from just trying to feed our hungers. There are people who try to do that. They eat all the time, or they drink all the time, or they become sexaholics or drug addicts or whatever. And you look at this, and I see people who are not fully satisfied in their life because we have deeper needs that our physical hungers cannot satisfy. There's an Arabic proverb that says, "All sunshine makes a desert." And I think it's that way with life. If all we do is feed ourselves, drink ourselves to excess, it creates a desert within. Jesus said in another place in the Gospels, "We do not live by bread alone." And so there are deeper hungers that bread and drink cannot satisfy. So I want to hold together the paradox of Mardi Gras, this day of partying, this day of celebrating excess, and Ash Wednesday, this day of beginning the fast, this day of beginning the Lenten discipline. And so let's be intentional about doing that this year. Let's be intentional about partying, because partying is a part of life. But I challenge you as well to take upon yourself a Lenten discipline, maybe to give up something for Lent. I'm not sure I want to give up Scharfenberger chocolate. If you've ever had Scharfenberger chocolate, you know what I mean. But maybe that's what I should give up. I don't know. But maybe you want to give up something for Lent, or maybe you want to take something on for Lent. Take on a spiritual discipline. Take on meditating for 30 minutes a day, or practicing yoga, or reading the Bible, or being a part of what's going on at church. Maybe you want to take on a spiritual discipline for Lent. But let's do both. Let the party begin. But let us be intentional about following Jesus on his journey to the cross so that we can discover at the end a full, whole life that appreciates the pleasures of the world, but also appreciates the deeper spiritual basis that's deep in the core of our own hearts. Let's do both.